always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Israeli airstrikes rock southern suburbs of Beirut, and Iran's supreme leader appears in public for the first time since his country launched its missile attack on Israel. CBS's MTS Tayeb in Beirut.
The last time Iran's supreme leader led Friday prayers in Tehran was nearly 5 years ago. With the barrel of a machine gun in hand, he had a message for Israel. We did it once, he said, and we'll do it again. Ayatollah Khamenei was talking about Iran's ballistic missile attack on Israel Tuesday night. Retaliation for the killing of his close ally, Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah, in Beirut 1 week ago.
At least 225 people are reported dead in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene.
I'm Jim Crisula in North Carolina. Scores of rescuers and volunteers continue searching for hundreds who remain missing a week after floodwaters from Hurricane Helene ravaged the southern Appalachian Mountains. Searchers are having to navigate around washed-out roads and bridges, downed power lines, broken sewer lines, and mudslides to reach the isolated and the missing.
Former President Donald Trump in North Carolina says when President Biden was asked about the possibility of Israel targeting Iran's nuclear program,
the answer should have been hit the nuclear first and worry about the rest later.
Meantime, Vice President Kamala Harris campaigns in the Midwest. CBS's Willie James Inman.
With just 32 days to the presidential election, Vice President Kamala Harris made two campaign stops in Michigan, a crucial battleground state.
We are the underdog. And we know we have some hard work ahead. But here's the thing about us. We like hard work.
Earlier in Detroit, the vice president touted the new jobs report, which shows the economy gained more than 250,000 jobs in September.
There's still more work we need to do. Prices for everyday things like groceries are still too high.
The Supreme Court has a workplace discrimination case on the docket when its new term starts on Monday.
The Supreme Court has just agreed to decide whether it should be more difficult for workers from majority backgrounds, such as white or heterosexual people, to prove workplace discrimination claims. The justices will hear an appeal by Marlene Ames. She's a heterosexual woman who has been trying to sue the Ohio Department of Youth Services, claiming she lost her job to a gay man and was passed over for a promotion in favor of a gay woman because she is straight. Lower courts have ruled she did not prove discrimination under federal law. Michael Toscano, CBS News, Washington.
The Supreme Court will also weigh Mexico's $10 billion lawsuit against U.S. gun makers. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden plans to return to Wisconsin Tuesday. More from Terry Bell.
The White House says the president will talk about the billions of dollars his administration has put into replacing lead pipes thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure law. Lead exposure is a long-standing problem in Milwaukee, which is replacing lead pipes to the tune of $800 million. Mayor Cavalier Johnson has said he wants to replace all of Milwaukee's lead pipes in 20 years. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin wildlife officials are asking hunters to share deer tissue samples from the Oneida County town of Stella. The Department of Natural Resources plans to test these samples for PFAS. A local paper mill is linked to extremely high levels of PFAS in Stella. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Heartbreak in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers went into the ninth inning with a lead yesterday, but a three-run home run by Pete Alonso ended Milwaukee's season. Manager Pat Murphy said he is disappointed for his players after a great season.
I love this team. You know, I love them. I'll never be able to duplicate 2024. And it didn't end the way we wanted to. And tragically, actually, you know, it felt like it. And it felt like a tragedy.
Meanwhile, the Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the LA Rams on Sunday after losing last week to the Minnesota Vikings. Head coach Matt LaFleur said Jordan Love will be another week healthier this week after some struggles last week.
It's hard to go out there and when you just don't have a lot of practice where you have a lot of time off and expect to be at the top of your game.
Kickoff this Sunday against the Rams is after 3 p.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A clear sky tonight and cool with a low in the low 40s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, becoming breezy, high in the mid 70s. A storm or two possible tomorrow night, then sunny, cooler, and highs in the low 60s Sunday. Breezy at times as well. Currently 51 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, the very latest on a close congressional race between Becca Cook and constantly caustic Congressman Derek Van Orden.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The patriotic millionaires also purchase advertising time on various Civic Media stations throughout Wisconsin.
Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, here's Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, Wisconsin and beyond. I am Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. And as it is the 3 o'clock hour, it means it is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. We are wrapping up an absolutely fabulous week of this segment by focusing on working people. And we're going to pick right up where we left off yesterday with John Driscoll by talking to another successful businessman who believes we should be paying working people better, our good friend Stephen Prince. Stephen is the vice chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, and he is the true bootstrap story of America. He was born poor in Waycross, Georgia, and in 1993, he founded National Business Products, now known as Card Market Inc., as a gift card and in-store marketing material production company. He basically sells gift cards, and a lot of them. Since selling the majority of his company in 2019, Stephen has focused on his real estate investments, traveling, and his efforts to make the USA what it was like before greed and short-sightedness took over this country. We've got Stephen on today to talk about how he, as a businessman, a capitalist, and himself a millionaire, believes we need to rethink how we structure our economy, and in particular, how we treat and pay working people, the engine of the U.S. economy. Welcome back, Stephen. I'm so happy to have you again. You were with me at the very beginning of the Maggie and the Millionaires segments, and it feels like full circle to have you back again to talk about this very fundamental issue. John Driscoll said that paying employees at least a living wage is an investment in your business, and that it's good for all businesses, whether it's a small startup or a huge corporation. As a businessman, as an investor, as a millionaire, do you agree with that? How do you do that math?
You know, first of all, let me say, I don't know that you really needed me on here today, Maggie. You say it all pretty well yourself, but nonetheless, I'll certainly be happy to weigh in. To me, it's hard to imagine that people who are business people don't understand the fact that paying your employees and all employees at least a living wage, if not an exceptional wage, is not the best way to achieve success with your business. It's ludicrous to think that otherwise. I don't know many companies, and there certainly are some, I mean, and I could name some of them, that underpay their employees and they still do very well. But to me, you know, it goes to me, the simplest calculation for considering this point is that we are unequivocally, and everyone knows anything about economics realizes that the United States economy is a consumer driven country. 66%, six full two thirds of our whole economic flow is driven by consumers. And yet we don't realize that putting money in their pockets is the best way to drive our economy. Instead, we, for some delirious reason, decide that we as owners or we as executives in corporations, we need to keep it all to ourselves. The fallacy for that is that those of us that have plenty of money don't spend a lot of money, certainly not on consumable items. We already have a house, many times several. We already have cars, and they all have brand new tires on them. We have more clothes than we know what to wear. I mean, we just don't consume because we have everything we want. Yet we don't want to pay the people who work for us a wage that allows them to cover the essentials of life, shelter, clothing, health care, those kinds of things, but then go buy other things that, like the rest of us in America, we really don't need, but they have a right to have excess the same way that the rest of us do. To me, again, it's ludicrous that we even have to have this conversation. Paying the people that you know, the dock strikers work, right, that just, you know, put a short-term stop today. I mean, those guys are already making pretty good money, but the people in their industry are making tremendous amounts of money. They just don't want to share it. And to me, it's short-sighted. It's ill-founded. And I think that sooner or later, I'd like to think that sooner or later we'll figure this out, but we're not, because greed is a universal attribute to mankind. And if we get in the position where we can activate our greed attribute, we will, or most people do. But John Driscoll is certainly a great example of someone who not only doesn't activate that greed attribute, but he's proven that not doing so is a good business move. Look at the success he's experienced. So to me, to not recognize the fact that paying your employees a living wage, a thriving wage, it makes all the sense in the world. It's good business.
Folks, that's Stephen Prince, my special guest for this episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. To summarize what you said, rich people are not the engine of this country's democracy or capitalistic economy, because rich people already have everything that they need. They've already bought it, so they are not the consumers. The middle class working people are consumers and thus are the engine of our economy. And John, I've got to ask you, because this comes up all the time, it seems like some sort of collective hallucination has taken hold. Even when I'm talking to folks that tend to vote Democratic, I hear this concern about paying people a dignity wage, right? Enough, not just to live, but to thrive. They seem to, businesses are going to collapse. What do you pinpoint as the cause of this collective misunderstanding? Is it, frankly, our culture's embracing and lionization of greed? Does this go back to, you know, greed is good in the movie Wall Street? Is it that basic that we've made greed like a value instead of something that should be discouraged and that our tax code should not be promoting?
Well, it really isn't complex. We human beings like to think that we're much more sophisticated and universally aware than we really are. Greed is a really deep dive human attribute, and we'll call it anything but that. But the way that corporations are running themselves today, the way Wall Street is running themselves today, you know, and I was thinking about this when we were talking about paying people salary. Look at Wall Street as a perfect example, and the banking industry in New York and all the big banks that are there. You know, these young people come out of college and they start at salaries of $250,000. And if they're there another year, then the chances are they're going to last a little while because they burn out so soon, or they don't burn out at all. And then they start climbing precipitously, $500,000 a year, $750,000 a year. Before you know it, they're making $1 or $2 million a year. Now, it's the same executives that run those companies, whether it's Goldman Sachs or Morgan Stanley or whoever it is. These are the same guys that will go out and tell some of their corporations that they've invested in Kansas City or Atlanta, Georgia, wherever they've invested in, and say, you've got to cut salaries. You've got to cut salaries. That's the only way you're going to get to profitability. Well, they don't do it. I mean, look what they're doing with their own employees. They're paying their own employees these crazy salaries to stay on board. So they're contradicting their own concept, yet they tell their corporation clients or the companies that they've invested in. It's just a fallacy. Why do we do it? It's an easy, I mean, it's like getting the second dessert. you don't need that second dessert, but it's there. So yeah, I'll have another slice of pie and give me some extra ice cream on there. It's just a natural human attribute. We are greedy, selfish creatures. And I don't know what, if there is a repair, the only thing that repairs it is legislation. That's the only way we can fix it. You're not going to cajole people into doing the right thing. You have to make them do the right thing, and that's legislation.
That is Stephen Prince, himself a millionaire, a rich guy, and a self-made one at that. He is my special guest on this episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. You have been highly successful in business. You have overseen tens of thousands of employees over the course of your career. How did you decide how to pay and how much to pay your employees?
It's just always been kind of an innate sense of mine that treating everyone the way that you would want to be treated if you were in their position, the old golden rule is, it's a valid approach to life. And when our company was coming up, we made money early on. We were profitable the first year we were in business. As we grew and then as we got in the gift card business, it was a very lucrative business. And I wanted to treat my employees with the respect that I thought that they deserved. I'm sad to admit that since I left, some of those philosophies have changed. I'm still on the board and I still have arguments from time to time with the rest of our board about that. We were having a recent discussion about profitability and, you know, trying to satisfy our bank's desires to have certain levels of margin. And the first thing that some of the people on the board said, we need to cut benefits. We need to cut insurance compensation. Let's make them pay more than insurance. I said, guys, we are not doing that. That is not who we are. We are not going to ride to success by taking money out of the pockets of our employees. If we can't figure out a way to make this thing work the way we want it to work by just being better business people, as opposed to having to cut benefits and cut salaries to our employees, then we need to shut it down. That's not a good business. And I don't want to participate in a company like that. So it's sad, but it's what a lot of company executives do over and over and over again.
I'm putting that on a T-shirt, Stephen. If you cannot pay your employees a respectable, dignified salary with the benefits that accord to a thriving middle class, it ain't a good business model, and we got to shut it down. Folks, we're going to come back with Stephen Prince. We're going to dig into the conversations you had with congresspeople and other CEOs. What is blocking us from solving this problem, the thing that's holding our country back from even more explosive economic growth, so that we all can share in this, the greatest country on the planet, these United States of America.
In the history of mankind.
That's right, sir. I love it. Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back with all of you in just a moment after these brief messages. Keep it locked.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. masterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes. This man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
To everyone who craves a rich and creamy hometown treat, let our team member Nevaeh tell you how we do it at Culver's.
Every scoop of Culver's fresh frozen custard is made in small batches throughout the day. Because where we come from, the little things make a big difference. Like bringing back a seasonal favorite, our salted caramel pumpkin concrete mixer and pumpkin spice shake are back for a limited time. Handcrafted with farm fresh dairy and real pureed pumpkin just for you.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South. In Wisconsin Rapids.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, here's Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for listening today to today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Really excited to be joined by my very special guest, Stephen Prince, the vice chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, a self-made millionaire himself, and a man that believes that paying workers a fair and dignified wage is central to any business's success. Stephen, you know a lot of other CEOs and rich folks. You live in Georgia. You're from there. I got to imagine that you hear all sorts of rationalizations and pushback to this basic idea. Why, you know, what do you say to your business owner buddies who say that you're crazy and that we need to keep the minimum wage where it is, which was set back in, I think, 2006 or seven? It hasn't moved in nearly 20 years.
Well, you know, most everybody down here that knows me knows where I come from. They know how I feel about these things. But the other thing is telling for someone, even a CEO of a company with 50 or 500 or 5,000 employees, they will seldom, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that they think that $7.25 is a fair wage. What they will say is that nobody gets paid $7.25 an hour, which I think is ludicrous. That's not true. I mean, you know, I think there are 20 states right now that are still $7.25 is the minimum wage, which is less than $15,000 a year. Yeah. Now, who anywhere in the United States of America can live on $15,000 a year, especially given the fact they're even going to pay some taxes on that, maybe with earned income tax credit, they may get a little bit of it back. But I want to veer off for just a second over what we pay people and talk about what people get to keep. Yes. I think one of the biggest issues that I'm frustrated with right now, I'm about 80% through a book that's going to wind up having a remarkable impact on the way that I view these issues. And it's called The Wolf on K Street. Mm-hmm. And I was never aware of the history of how we got to where we are now. But it started in the early 70s, post-Nixon, when lobbyists and attorneys came to realize that they could have a huge impact on a federal and a state level in determining how much taxes corporations and individuals paid. Now, none of these attorneys or none of these lobbyists were concerned about the working class. They were only worried about the wealthy people, the business owners, the CEOs, and the upper level executives of these corporations. So they have slowly methodically and meticulously adjusted tax law in the last 50 years to where the working class right now typically pay a higher tax rate than the CEO of the corporation. And it's just not right. So what I'm saying is that even if you pay these people, you raise minimum wage from $7.25 to, let's say, to $15 an hour, and it really probably should be $20 an hour, they still won't live. The way their money is treated will not be the same. Another example that I'll give you is inheritances. Well, you know, up until about 10 or 12 years ago, the maximum amount that you could protect if you left a large stash of cash for your kids was $650,000 per person. Today, it's over $11 million per person. So a mother and a father can leave $22 million to the children. And I had a big argument recently with another wealthy friend of mine about that very issue, because he's going to leave that much or more to his children. And he says, well, it's not right. I've already paid the taxes on it. And I said, yes, that's true. You did pay taxes on it, but your children didn't pay any taxes on it. And when they get that check for $7, $10, $15 million per child, any way you want to cut it, it's income. Yeah. And if it's income, it should be taxed as income. And whatever you, so what they've learned to do is just you wrap another term around it. You call it another word, so you get to treat it differently. So the imbalance that's taking place in America right now is really hidden in tax law. But you know, back to the point that you asked about, we need to raise minimum wage, but we don't need to raise it to a set level. It needs to be set on the minimum amount of money that it takes for someone to live, which is about $40,000 a year for an individual. That needs to be the number, and they shouldn't have to pay any taxes until they get above that level. So if they make $40,000 a year, they pay zero taxes, so they get to keep it all to live on. It's a multi-leveled correction that we need to go through, but I think that's the tack we have to take.
And that is exactly what was proposed just last week in the American Sustainability Act, introduced by Representative Summer Lee of the 12th District of Pennsylvania, a meaningful sustainability wage that is indexed to inflation and a tax exemption for the cost of living. Right. Duh, is what I say to this. Like, why should working people who are barely getting by pay any income tax? It just doesn't make any sense. Why should wealth, capital gains be taxed differently and at a lower rate than work? It's the same sort of earning, right? Why should that income to those that are inherited not get taxed just like a working person's income? It is all of a whole. I like to say, Stephen, if you want to talk about childcare policy, if you want to talk about strengthening our borders, you're talking about tax policy and making it more fair to working people in this country. My special guest this half hour, Stephen Prince, Vice President of the Patriotic Millionaires, a bootstrap millionaire himself, earned it all on his own ingenuity and business acumen, which included paying his workers a fair wage. And folks, if you're interested in this history of tax policy that Stephen is referring to, that's going to be discussed in his new book once he gets it done, The Wolf on K Street, I'm going to be joined next Friday for an entire hour by historian Heather Cox Richardson. And all we're going to be talking about is the history of tax policy in this country. Stephen, you may find that pretty interesting yourself. I want to just ask you this baseline question, because this is how it's always framed by the right. We've got about a minute left. The right always claims that taxing, quote, job creators like yourself will hurt the economy. Fact or fiction?
That's ridiculous. I mean, to me, it's laughable. It's so self-serving that it bears no validity as far as I'm concerned, because by saying that is you don't want to pay any taxes. I get that you don't want to pay any taxes, but I tell all my wealthy friends, if we paid our people more, they lived a better life, we still wouldn't give up any of the lifestyle that we have. We'd still have our multiple homes, we'd still have multiple cars, and we'd have our private jets. It would not change our lifestyle. But it would change the lifestyle of the people that work for us. They're not mutually exclusive goals. They really aren't. They're not fighting one another. We can do both.
We've got to leave it there. That's Stephen Prince, Vice Chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, my friend and now yours. We'll be back with more on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. 185 passengers arrived at a Dutch airport after the Netherlands organized a repatriation flight from Lebanon as Israel conducts more airstrikes.
It was not possible to get a ticket anymore. We booked three different ones and they all got canceled. So we're really, really lucky that the Netherlands is doing this for us.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says there are many rural roads that are still extremely difficult to access after Hurricane Helene.
The proportions of the devastation are shocking. We are mobilizing emergency relief funding.
Vice President Kamala Harris dumps in the battleground state of Michigan.
This is going to be a very tight race until the very end. We are the underdog, and we know we have some hard work ahead.
And former President Donald Trump addresses energy and immigration during a stop in North Carolina.
We're going to do a couple of things. First day. We're going to drill, baby, drill. We're going to close the wall. We're going to close it up.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There's no relief in sight from the risk of wildfires in Wisconsin. Jimmy Cusco reports.
Dry weather and the changing of seasons are increasing fire risks across Wisconsin. The DNR said that fire risks are higher due to dry and breezy conditions and a lack of precipitation, as well as drying vegetation as we head into the fall. The greatest fire risks are in northwestern Wisconsin, but with no precipitation expected in the near future, the fire danger will be increased to the south as well. I'm Jimmy Cusco.
The Help Wanted sign is out at the La Crosse Police Department. Chief Sean Cudron says there are 11 openings. Applicants have to be at least 18 years old with 60 hours of college credits or more. There's also a physical exam and mental health screening. La Crosse police make at least $73,000 with benefits. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Godfather, The Godfather 2, or The Conversation might be most people's response to the question, what is your favorite Francis Ford Coppola movie? When asked that exact question on a Twitter Q&A, the director surprised people and said his favorite film when it came to his own projects was Rumblefish. The film starred Mickey Rourke, Diane Lane, Nicolas Cage, and Matt Dillon and was based on the 1975 book of the same title by Outsiders writer S.E. Hinton. Might be time for a rewatch. A diehard Milwaukee Brewer fan is making the news for all the wrong reasons. Apparently, attending a Brewer playoff game was more important than being there for the birth of his first child. How do we know? The man held up a onesie and a sign that said, "First baby due today. Am I having a boy, a girl, or a playoff win?" The box next to playoff win was the one he checked. Let's not judge. The guy loves baseball, and maybe the baby isn't even his. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A clear sky tonight and cool with a low in the low 40s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, becoming breezy, high in the mid-70s. A storm or two possible tomorrow night, then sunny, cooler, and highs in the low 60s Sunday. Breezy at times as well. Currently 51 degrees.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be talking with Bill Carroll, president of Teamsters Local 344, representing 15,000 Wisconsin workers, about their endorsement of the Harris-Walz ticket.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
if you disagree. We'll talk about it. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks for listening all week, folks. And if you're still wondering, especially about your state legislative, assembly, and Senate races, do not fear. Civic Media is here. We are always here to help you, and we have got an incredibly valuable, detailed look, take at all of the legislative races, all 115 of them happening this year in the Wisconsin State Legislature. And things have changed. We've got new maps. For the first time in well over a decade, we have fairer maps. And finally, people will have some meaningful choices in selecting their state assembly people and senators. If you want to check out Civic Media's breakdown of all 115 Senate and assembly races, just go to civicmedia.us to learn more. And of course, as we go into this weekend, folks, you may be spending time with your loved ones, and you may be thinking of those people that are hurting up and down the eastern seaboard as a result of Hurricane Helene. If you want to help them out, go to civicmedia.us/help. We've got links there to the American Red Cross and Samaritan's Purse. We're not touching the money. We're not taking any of it. It's just to help you get to a couple of the aid organizations on the ground, helping people in North Carolina and other states that are victims of this biblical natural disaster, because climate change is a real thing, despite what Ron Johnson, Donald Trump, and J.D. Vance may say. Before we get to local and overlooked, wanted to take a caller. Billy, what do you have to say this afternoon?
Hey, Maggie, can you hear me?
I can. Talk real loud if you can,
hey,
Billy.
Maggie, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yep, that's better. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'm loving your series on economics as much as I can catch it, and the discussion of kind of how the correlation between income and or wealth and the amount of taxes you pay should be. And I don't know if such a study exists, but I would really be interested to know not just the direction, but some of the details of the correlation between an individual's level of wealth and the amount, the value of the personal and professional benefit they derive from, you know, public infrastructure, et cetera. Like, you know, if I can't afford a car, I'm not getting the same level of benefit from use of the roads as someone who can. And if I own a McDonald's franchise, you know, I'm benefiting from, you know, my customers being able to get to my business, et cetera, et cetera. So I just really love to understand in numbers what the correlation is between the wealth of a person and the public and professional good they derive from those public services that are out there that we all pay for as taxpayers.
Thanks so much, Billy. I love this question, right? Because the wealthiest among us, and certainly the most consistently wealthy and profitable corporations, are wealth extractive, not just because they dodge their fair share of taxes, but because they benefit from the infrastructural supports. I don't care what we're talking about, what element of infrastructure that our middle class tax dollars afford, whether it's Jeff Bezos moving his packages on the roads that we pay for, right? Or whether it's a corporation hiring people, skilled workers that have been trained and educated in our public education systems, or in a private school paid for by middle class tax dollars through a voucher or choice program. All of this matters. And I can guarantee you this, Billy, whatever, and I will try to find an analysis of that, but the use, the exploitation of one single taxpayer dollar, in other words, how much benefit a single taxpayer dollar provides to each and every one of us in the middle class versus the richest, I bet that proportion is shocking. In other words, of every tax dollar invested in these sorts of programs that allow the wealthiest to remain the wealthiest and acquire even more wealth, they are getting a much larger benefit of every tax dollar than regular middle class folks are. Because, you know, I don't own a fleet of jet or a penis rocket to the sky. And with that, I think it's time for a little political relief. I am so happy. It is Friday because we get to talk about what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Today, I've got one of my other fabulous female friends in broadcasting. Terry Barr is on a film set. She is on site. So congrats, Terry. Can't wait to talk about that. But I'm joined with my very good friend, Catherine Lake. Thanks for making time, Catherine.
Hi, Mags. Happy to be here.
Tell us what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin today.
Okay. Well, as far as I know, the way this goes is I tell you someplace that's a little overlooked, but I don't know if I have a place that's utterly overlooked because everybody in Wisconsin knows about all the great places in Wisconsin. We're a very prideful state, I have learned over the last 30-plus years I've been around here. And so for me, it's fall colors right now. I am going to drag my kid, my 14-year-old daughter, kicking and screaming, into the car to go look at the fall colors. And it's really the best way to do it, by car. And for me, it's driving straight west. My sister came to visit me in Madison when I first got back last summer/fall. And she said, I want to see the Mississippi. I'm like, okay, well, you know, that doesn't come through here. So we're going to have to get in the car. And we drove over to La Crosse. And it's 2.25 hours, rather, from Madison. Not too far. Probably too far and unnecessary for Milwaukee. If you want to see some fall colors, you don't have to go all the way across to La Crosse. Go north, Mequon, Sheboygan, Door County. Gorgeous.
And Port Washington, yes, Milwaukee. Yes.
Port Washington, I was just going to talk about that, yes. So in La Crosse, of course, the riverboats depart from Riverside Park there. They've got this international friendship garden that features landscape styles from all around the world, which is, I think, why I'm going to choose to go there with my daughter, because just bought a house, really need to figure out my landscape style. I don't have one in this house just yet, and everybody around me does, so I think I'm going to try to hit that. They also are fest happy in La Crosse, like a lot of places in Wisconsin. We love our fests. We're going to make a festival out of whatever you got all year long. So they've got, of course, an Oktoberfest in La Crosse, a River Fest, and on the 16th, Adventure Festival begins there. It's at the Rivoli Theater, which is a beautiful theater. It's Films and Storytelling Adventure Festival. Starts on the 16th. I think it's a five-day fest there in La Crosse.
Wow.
So I could recommend that. If you don't want to go too far from Madison, which is a perfectly great place to see the fall colors as well, but if you want to go a little less distance, maybe an hour 45 to Prairie du Chien. Of course, the orangutan went there recently to make hay. But Prairie du Chien is actually a really beautiful place. They sport a really nice look at the Mississippi at the River Sculpture Park there. And they have the Casino Queen Marquette across the river in Iowa. You could use a few bucks there. Spook Cave Campground, which sounds awesome for kids. Prairie Funland, another place for great for kids. And a fantastic educational thing to do with your kids. And I want to bring Bailey there, my daughter, to spend some time at Effigy Mounds National Monument. Effigy Mounds preserves more than, get this, 200 prehistoric mounds built by pre-Columbian mound builder cultures. So that would be something really spectacular to get a look at, all surrounded, of course, by the fall colors. And
yes,
if you want to head up north to Door County, Washington Island, that's the spot, Schoolhouse Beach. I want to go here. I have not been there yet, but I've been to Door County, and it is, of course, fall color extravaganza. But this Schoolhouse Beach is so beautiful and so important that taking its rocks is actually against the law. It's a perfect spot for people who don't want to get sand in their bathing suits, but these rocks, they're about palm size, some smaller. There's only four other similar sandless beaches in the world. The shore, Schoolhouse Beach, is named for a one-room wooden schoolhouse that used to be there. Some people probably already know this. It's been replaced by a picnic table and a barbecue area. But these small rocks have been glacier-polished over thousands of years, and they're little geological treasures. So, again, souvenir hunters have carried off a lot of the rocks now, so now there's a big fine for taking even one. So
Catherine, let me just jump in real quick. So first of all, yes, everybody's got to put Schoolhouse Beach on Washington Island on your Wisconsin bucket list. It is not to be missed. And no matter what, if you get there on a sunny day, even if it's in the fall or a different time of year, what's wonderful about these stones is that they heat up. And so you basically get like a hot stone massage if you just lay down on these rocks. Now, if you do happen to get a little seasick, be sure you take your Dramamine before you get on the ferry to go from the tip of the point of the Door Peninsula to Washington Island. It can be a wee bit choppy out there. They used to call it Death's Door. It was quite a navigation challenge for many ships because there were, again, these different archaeological outcroppings. I shouldn't say archaeological, but geological from the glacial period. And I have a little bit of a funny story for you, Catherine, about Fall Fest.
Tell me.
In Door County, of course. And folks, if you've been listening to the Local and Overlooked segment for a while, I have a little behind the curtains for you. I never know what my very special guests are going to talk about, which offers an opportunity for me to often embarrass myself with stories from the past. And I have one. One of my best friends from college was a big Fall Fest fan, and I frequently, in college, went up there with her, and we were fortunate enough to stay on her family's small boat, which they docked for the summer up in Egg Harbor. And here's the funny part. You know, being in college, we may have had an irresponsible number of adult beverages celebrating the fall colors in the Door Peninsula, and went and, of course, racked out on the boat. Her dad, who was also in town, thought it would be just hilarious to make sure that we were up and at 'em at sunrise. And so he snuck onto the boat, of course, his boat, and put in Jimi Hendrix, the Jimi Hendrix Experience at maximum blast on the boat's stereo speakers to wake us up. And he started with Jimi Hendrix playing the national anthem at Woodstock.
Of course.
So I have lots of fun memories of Fall Fest up in the Door Peninsula.
Well, Door County is just, it's a rare place in this entire country on Earth, I even might gather. I just think Door County is spectacular. It just is. Now, have you ever been to the Nelson's Hall and Bitters Club?
No, but Nelson's I'm Hall intrigued already.
Oh, it's the oldest continuously operating tavern in Wisconsin at the tip of the Door County Peninsula. The owner used a clever loophole to get patrons drunk right through Prohibition. So let me say it again. It's the oldest continuously operating tavern, has never stopped all the way through Prohibition. So the owner, this Dane named Tom Nelson, he founded the Nelson Hall as a dance hall, but heard that alcohol can be purchased and dispersed and dispensed for medicinal reasons. He doesn't have a doctor. He's not a doctor. He doesn't have access to grain alcohol, which they were using a lot for depression and anxiety. I'll take care of it. I take a pill for that now. So Nelson applied for and received a pharmacist's license, and he used bitters, which apparently contain 45% alcohol, 90 proof.
Yes, 90 proof.
Parlance. Yes, right. So he prescribed shots of Angostura bitters to patrons, thus retaining his clientele and saving his business during the Prohibition time. Oh, here's the kicker.
Wonderful.
He brought it to the, he brought it. You have to go probably, right? He brought it to court. You love this. He gave it to the judge, and the judge said, yeah, that doesn't taste good. That has to be medicine. Keep doing it.
A gentleman and a scholar, Mr. Nelson. Thanks so much, Catherine Lake, my female fabulous friend in broadcasting. You have a wonderful weekend. Big hug to Bailey. Enjoy your fall color drive. Folks, we're going to come back here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. There's a brand new ad for Kamala Harris that I think you're going to want to take a listen to, issued by one of the country's great national treasure musical recording artists. That's coming up next. Don't miss it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air. Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I am coming at you with the recommendation that if you have recently lost your job, I am so sorry, and you should apply for unemployment. Look, we all pay taxes for a rainy day, and being unemployed is that day. It doesn't matter if your employer is letting you go because they're downsizing or because they don't like your work. You can submit a claim to your state unemployment office. Now, the only reasons you can't get unemployment is if you quit your job or if you've been fired for like certain kinds of serious misconduct. Now, you could apply the very first day that you are out of work. If you wait, you're not going to get back payments. And after you apply, sometimes your employer will say you're not eligible because they have to pay. In that case, you just appeal the decision. People do this all the time. For more Everyday Money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And how y'all doing? Happy Friday. Looks like it's going to be beautiful in most places in the state, at least this afternoon and most of tomorrow. Enjoy it, friends. I hope you get out there to enjoy some of those fall colors. My thanks to Catherine Lake from WMDX for joining me for a special substitute special edition of What's Good, Local, and Overlooked in Wisconsin. You can find that segment here every Friday in the 3:30 block. But we're at the end of this week's episodes of Maggie and the Millionaires. We're at the end of the Maggie Dawn show. And I thought it only fitting to not just talk about these polling numbers from the latest Marquette University poll, but point out first that Senate race between Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde is much closer than I think the 6 points that the most recent MU Law School poll showed. Other polling is showing a near dead heat, and we just got word over the last 24 hours that conservatives are piling in tens of millions of dollars and will be outspending Democrats and Baldwin-aligned PACs by millions between now and Election Day. This is a must-win Senate race for Republicans. The airwaves are going to be blanketed. So, folks, if you want to get involved, you can do that first and foremost by making sure that you are registered to vote, making a voting plan, and telling your friends and family about the issues that matter most and where these candidates stand. You can find out where you can get registered to vote, check your registration status, confirm your polling place, and help your friends and family do the same at myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov. Want to get that website correct. It matters. It matters a lot. Check out all those things. And yesterday, I mentioned a couple of websites that are really helpful for fact checking. And I wanted to share those again today because I think almost more than anything, getting a good independent approach to analyze what the candidates' claims are, what their records are, is so extraordinarily important. So I wanted to take a minute before we close out the show this afternoon to share those websites with you again. There's two. The first one is called usafacts.org. That's usafacts.org. The second one is mediabiasfactcheck.com. That's mediabiasfactcheck.com. Check those out. They help fact check candidates and debates. They help you understand how candidates represent their records, and they help you assess the bias of various media outlets. So I highly recommend both ensuring that you've got a voting plan and spending some time looking at the candidates to make sure that they align with your values and what's most important to you. But speaking about what's most important to you, I think it's fairly indisputable that Wisconsinites and Americans believe in what I'm going to call middle-class values. Work hard, you get ahead. And right now, I think most of us out there, most of you feel like, hey, I'm working hard and I might not be getting ahead. And that feeling, right, that tension, that disappointment, I think is something that the recording artist Bruce Springsteen has represented so incredibly well in his body of work over four decades in the entertainment business. He's the boss, right? Like, that is the deal. So as we close out this week's shows, I wanted to end with a new spot that was just released last night in support of Kamala Harris. This is Bruce Springsteen telling you all why he's endorsing Kamala Harris and what this election means.
Hi, I'm Bruce Springsteen. Friends, fans, and the press have asked me who I'm supporting in this most important of elections. And with full knowledge that my opinion's no more or less important than those of any of my fellow citizens, here's my answer. I'm supporting Kamala Harris for president and Tim Walz for vice president and opposing Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. Here's why. We are shortly coming upon one of the most consequential elections in our nation's history. Perhaps not since the Civil War has this great country felt as politically, spiritually, and emotionally divided as it does then at this moment. It doesn't have to be this way. The common values, the shared stories that make us a great and united nation are waiting to be rediscovered and retold once again. Now, that will take time, hard work, intelligence, faith, and women and men with the national good guiding their hearts. America is the most powerful nation on earth, not just because of her overwhelming military strength or economic power, but because of what she stands for, what she means, what she believes in: freedom, social justice, equal opportunity, the right to be and love who you want. These are the things that make America great. Donald Trump is the most dangerous candidate for president in my lifetime. His disdain for the sanctity of our Constitution, the sanctity of democracy, the sanctity of the rule of law, and the sanctity of the peaceful transfer of power should disqualify him from the office of president ever again. He doesn't understand the meaning of this country, its history, or what it means to be deeply American. On the other hand, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are committed to a vision of this country that respects and includes everyone, regardless of class, religion, race, your political point of view, or sexual identity.
And Mr. Springsteen continues. We're going to leave it there, folks. Have a blessed weekend. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together for democracy. Dom Salia is up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, National Security Leaders for America member Randy Manner joins us at 10:33 to talk about Project 2025. Pam Yonke in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.